We're joined by Kerry Crowley, who, of course, covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group and the San Jose Mercury News. And, Kerry, what a night. What a night of baseball. You got to see it. You got to write about it. And this has to be a memorable night for you.
Yeah, Marty. When you look back on this season, 162 games, I think this is going to be one of the top three or five that we think about and that has a prominent role in that mosaic that's right there in the middle because it was everything we thought it could be and more. Extra innings, Giants A's, 56,000. Just a tremendous night for baseball.
Now, when it goes to extra innings, you always tweet out, nothing's for free.
Yes.
Isn't that it?
Free baseball is never free.
And why do you say that?
Because there are always people paying the cost. You know, the security guards working here, the people selling hot dogs, everyone is still working.
All right. Free baseball is never free.
Someone's paying.
Madison Bumgarner, and now 89 times with the bases loaded, I'd only walked two. 89, you've had that in your tweets last night, 89 games in a row, five innings or more. That came to an end last night. Marichal had 72. Bumgarner had exceeded that. What was your take? You got to talk to Bumgarner after the game, and you got to analyze it a little bit. What do you think?
Well, he chalked it up to just not having his command. He said he couldn't throw strikes, and I asked him point blank if he thought that the A's changed their approach the second time through the lineup, and he didn't. But, Marty, you look at what this A's team has done throughout the season. Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, they didn't make it past the sixth inning against this Oakland team. They wear guys down. Chad Pinder had an eight-pitch at bat. All these guys have such good plate discipline. They'll foul off. They'll spoil pitches. And I think we saw that. And they weren't going to chase. And that's part of Bumgarner's game is getting guys to swing at pitches just off the strike zone, just out of the strike zone. And it didn't happen for him there in the fifth inning. And that's why he got chased early.
Yeah, they're very unusual. And Woe was just on with us. I said, Woe, what did you see from the dugout? And hey, he explains, look, Woe is a manager. You know, he's obviously has the ability to be a manager and sees this stuff. And when you get a guy like Bumgarner, you always think he's going to work out of it,
mm-hmm.
that it's not going to continue. And this one, Bochy went as far as he could. And thank God Dyson came in and rolled the pair with Crawford and got him out of the trouble, only giving up one run.
Yeah, it was so different to see from Madison Bumgarner because, like you said, Bochy gave him every opportunity to get out of that, but he walked four of the first five hitters that inning, and nothing really worked for him. 28 pitches, just 11 strikes, but the thing to me was almost all of those misses, at least 15 of them, were competitive misses.
Yeah.
And that, to me, says so much about this Oakland lineup and why I think that this could be a playoff team here in Oakland.
How'd you like the ninth inning?
Oh, my
now,
goodness.
Was your story already written? Because you did write a story, a complete story, with that in it. When the game ended, you had a great story. If you look at Kerry's story online, seriously, it really was a good recap of the whole game. How did I imagine the two out in the ninth inning, you were probably ready to head down to the clubhouse.
I had my entire story sent into the newspaper. The score was in there, 3-2 Oakland A's. Talking all about how the Giants don't want to see the number 89 because Oakland had its 1989 parade last night. Madison Bumgarner's 89-game streak was snapped, and then I just deleted the whole thing and started
over from scratch.
Yeah,
wow.
And had until the 11th inning to get it done, fortunately, but that was a tough rewrite, I'll say that.
All right, he's up and ready to go. That's the youth of Kerry Crowley here. He did a nice job last night. I love Twitter. And I was into it last night. I was tweeting a lot last night during the game. And the memes?
Yes.
Memes, correct?
Yes.
The GIFs?
Yes.
Where is Carmen when I need Carmen? Where is she when I need her? They were hysterical last night about the chair with Melanson. I mean, just hysterical.
You know, Marty, thinking back on that moment and watching it in real time, they got the call right. Melanson and the chair didn't impact Piscotty. He wasn't going to get Alan Hansen out at the plate. They got the call right. But if they hadn't made that call, if for some reason they go and look at the replay, they send Alan Hansen back to third base, the next hitter's an out, I don't know how Mark Melanson recovers from that. We are so close to witnessing just one of the most unbelievable moments in this rivalry. Giants and A's, and Mark Melanson, a pitcher who didn't even enter the game last night, had a huge impact on it. And not that he was trying to impact Piscotty with the chair. He and Marant were the last two to get out of there in the bullpen. They were scattering, doing exactly what you're supposed to do. But wrong place, wrong time, and that would have been the definition of that if you looked up that phrase in the dictionary.
You know, Melanson does the spot for Heritage Salvage with Bug, you know, my friend Bug.
One of my favorite commercials on KFAR.
And it's always with furniture.
Yeah.
He's going to have to, Bug's going to have to give him a chair.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is perfect for Melanson. The next commercial Bug does will be with Melanson with a chair made by Heritage Salvage.
Look at you, Marty. No one sells advertising quite like Marty.
I see it coming. I see this coming around the corner. Holland pitched last night. Does that mean he goes Wednesday for Samardzija?
Well, I think you can treat last night as kind of his bullpen day, and he only got two outs. If they're able to stay away from him today, and I would imagine Ty Block will be the long man, then I think that Bruce Bochy wants Derek Holland to make that start on Wednesday against Seattle. Jeff Samardzija eligible to come off the disabled list, but I just don't see it. He's supposed to throw a bullpen today. Give him the extra rest. Holland has looked excellent through the month of July ever since he was pulled out of the rotation. He's been spot on for the Giants. They also have Chris Stratton, who could throw on regular rest. He pitched in Sacramento Friday night, 6 innings, 10 strikeouts. Bruce Bochy said he found it, but I just think that Bochy really likes Holland. Holland really likes the opportunity to start and give his team an opportunity to win. Competitive pitcher. I think that that's the right scenario.
Yeah, I agree. I think by throwing him last night, you probably have a situation where you use him on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Because for Cueto today, look, the big story, Cueto, which Cueto do you get? And that's going to be your story today for everybody. That's our question for Original Joe's. What's the score of the game and how many strikes does Cueto throw today? I'm not even asking for pitches.
How many strikes does Cueto throw?
Yeah, you know, so we'll see on that. But that's at Baseball Marty. And you love Original Joe's. We got to get you to one of these dinners.
Looking forward to one of these days.
But who's going to back up Cueto today? I mean, you're going to need somebody. He only goes 5, maybe 6.
Well, Reyes Marantz's arm's going to fall off, so I don't think it'll be him. But Ty Block, he can give you 2 today. You get that out of Block. You probably use Tony Watson as well. Melanson's back, and he can pitch because he took yesterday off. So there's a way that you can make it through, but I think we'll see Bochy have a long leash for Johnny Cueto in the first few innings because he needs him to get through at least 4 just to turn things over to Block. And if in an emergency, I guess they could turn to Derek Holland and have Chris Stratton make that start on Wednesday, but I don't think that's an ideal situation.
Yeah, you don't want an extra inning game today.
It's impossible. Pablo Sandoval's pitching extra innings today. I'm sure Chase Darno will play third base because there's a lefty on the mound.
That's right.
So you got Pablo down in the bullpen. He's your 13th pitcher.
All right. Yeah, Chase Darno should start today. And he's got a home run off Manaea as well.
Exactly.
So imagine we'll see him out there today. Kerry Crowley with us. And this sun is coming out now at the Oakland Coliseum. Probably 45,000 today. No Mount Davis today. So they'll sell out the lower part, probably 48,000. Here today to see the conclusion of this thing. Any concern about the lefties coming out of the pen? I tweeted that a little bit last night. Will Smith and Watson. You and I touched on this yesterday when we talked. Watson seems like he's laboring just a little bit. And Smith, you know, let's face it, you know, he's Tommy John and came back in May without a blip, but his last couple, maybe the ball is not quite as moving as much.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that you chalk up to this A's lineup and how good it is.
Okay.
And we saw Watson struggle against the A's, and in the Cubs series, Javi Baez took him deep, and Will Smith has given up runs twice against Oakland right now. So I want to see if this is a trend that continues before the trade deadline, just to see what the Giants have in those lefties and if they'll come back and finish the month of July strong. But you're right, this bullpen has been the best in the major league since May 30th, but they're starting to show signs of wear and tear, and you can only go to Reyes Marantz so much. You need some of these lefties to be the specialists that they are, and you know, pitch a full inning, get righties and lefties out, but lock down those left-handers. We just haven't quite seen that.
That's where Ray Black comes in, though. Ray Black has got the stuff to throw to lefties, I think.
He does. He does. Deceptive 98, too. It's quick on the hitters, and it's not just because of the velocity. I think it's a lot to do with his motion.
Yeah, I think he becomes a part of this equation. I really do.
He, in my opinion, Marty, he is a part of this equation
now. Okay, good.
Moving forward, 4 straight scoreless outings. He's got the stuff to be there.
Yeah, I agree. He'll be a big part. And he could probably, well, they don't like him back-to-back, so
no.
I don't know what they'll do with him today. This game's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Manaea is a tough cookie.
Yeah, he's really tough. And I think we're going to see a very different lineup from Bruce Bochy today.
What do you think?
He hinted at that. I think we'll see Darnell at third, Slater in left, maybe Hernandez in center. No Duggar today. McCutcheon in right. Might see Posey DHing, Hundley behind the plate. They're going to stack it with right-handers. I think you bring Hanson off the bench at some point when you get Manaea out of there, because his speed is electric. You need him to be impacting a game, whether he comes off the bench or starts.
Hanson is unbelievable. The run, I mean, really, that dash he made, this was circa 1962, Willie Mays, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I love the history of the game. And I said it last night for anyone who was listening around 11:45 at night. You know, Willie Mays got the double in Game 7, and Matty Lou was on first, and they held him up at third. And Roger Maris was right where Piscotty was and made the throw to the plate, and it was a pretty good throw. And Alou probably would have been out, but two out, he should have been running like crazy. And Mays always said if he was running, he would have scored on the play. And I swear it came back to me last night. But, Kerry, you've watched baseball. You know the game. You played baseball as well. This Hanson, when he starts moving, get out of the way.
Marty, just think about where we were sitting in spring training watching Alan Hanson run the bases and shaking our head thinking, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
Alan Hanson was a disaster on the bases in spring training. He played himself off the roster with his one asset, which was speed, goes down to Sacramento, comes back at the end of April, fills in for Joe Panik. And it really all started, I think, in Atlanta at SunTrust Park when there was the ball hit to first base. Freddie Freeman fielded it. Hanson was the only player on the team that could have possibly scored a run in that situation. He dashes home, scores the go-ahead run, I believe, at that point. And the Giants sweep the Braves. And ever since then, Alan Hanson on the base pass has been one of the most fun parts of the season. It's been tremendous excitement for this Giants team and something that we just haven't been accustomed to.
I love it. I mean, I think it's a great part of it. We saw it on display last night. The pop-ups are another story. And, you know, who knows? You know, a better second baseman probably makes those catches. McCutcheon didn't help him very much in either play. But you give up a little bit of that. But the double play was turned. And he got a hit right-handed last night, which was a huge hit for him off of Buckter that set up Pence's hit up the middle.
Yeah, he's been a little better right-handed lately. I think that once he dipped down to about 150, it might be crawling up toward 180, 200 now, but he's had two or three hits in the past 2 weeks from the right side of the plate.
All right, great to have you with us. I appreciate your hanging in here. And we'll be talking to you. What next week is? Home.
Milwaukee.
Home. Yeah, we'll be home out at the patio. So we'll see you out there.
Yeah,
have a good day today, and don't write your story so quickly. You know there are 27
outs. It's got to be there,
27 outs in this thing.
Yeah,
and we saw it last night. Great game. All right, thanks, Kerry.
Thank you, Marty.
All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.